You didn't remember the Dust Bowl because you were too young.
I do remember the Dust Bowl.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
You were born in 29, and the Dust and the Depression were up to about 35.
Right.
So you do remember. I was just thinking about that house, single wall, the dust blowing through the house.
It did, and you would put wet towels around as best you could. Obviously, in that part of the state, it was not as severe as it was in the western part of Oklahoma, but you could still see the dust, and you could see the clouds, and we did experience that.
You taste it, I suppose.
That's right.
When you're outside,
right.
The nitty-gritty of the dust.
It's just there. It's in the air.
Do you remember people from Ada moving, leaving because of Dust Bowl Depression times?
We had some relatives who did move to California and eventually came back. As far as remembering individual families, those are the ones I remember leaving and coming back.
So then the first school you attended was there in Ada?
It was.
Elementary school.
It was an interesting school, Irving Elementary School, the same school my mother attended when she was in school. Same school that Oral Roberts attended, same school that Bob Kerr attended. So a lot of history in that school. And it, by that time, had become a grade 1 through 6 school. I went 6 years there. The original building was the same one that Roberts and Kerr and my mother had attended, and later they built a new building and tore down the original structure.
Do you remember the Roberts family then in Ada?
I do. Oral's father was a minister of a Pentecostal church that he had established 2 blocks from where I was born. I mentioned that I was a seeing-eye dog from my grandfather. Among the things my grandfather liked to do was each Sunday he wanted to go to a different church in the neighborhood. In those days, you had a church on every corner, so we had a Baptist church one corner and a Methodist church across the street on the next corner, and the Church of Christ 1 block away, and the Nazarene church 2 blocks away, and the Church of Christ 2 blocks away, and Pentecostal church 2 blocks away. So we made the rounds, and he wanted to go to different ones. He liked to hear the different preachers, so I sometimes would take him down to hear Reverend Roberts preach. That was my first experience with the Pentecostal religion, and he was a good preacher.
So was he a powerful preacher?
He was a powerful preacher.
Yeah.
Oral's parents lived across the street from the family of the girl that became my wife, my fiance.
And her name was?
Her name was Vinita, V-I-N-I-T-A, just like the town. Vinita June Shirley. Vinita's father and Oral's father would meet frequently in the front yard and have vivid discussions about religion, because my father-in-law was a devout Southern Baptist, and obviously Oral's father was a devout Pentecostal. They disagreed on some religion.
Did you as children hear that or know they were talking?
Yes, it was friendly. They were neighbors just out visiting, and yes, we knew they were talking about things.
Oral would have been how much older than you?
Oral was 10 years older than I.
So then you don't have any memory of him in Ada?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I do. Not a lot, but he began his tent ministry, as I recall, in Ada, and it was not a large circus tent to begin with. The first time I remember his having a tent there was about 2 blocks from his parents' home place on a vacant lot, the corner of 4th Street and Broadway in Ada, smaller tent. He did a revival there. I also remember that when he was pastor of a church in Enid, he was the keynote speaker at the Pentecostal summer camp meeting. They had a campground east of Ada. I was in high school at the time, and several of us drove out to attend the camp meeting to hear this evangelist, the hometown boy, coming back from Enid, and he preached at that. So we heard Oral even in the days that I was a teenager.
And was, as we say, a fiery or powerful preacher back then.
He was.
He might have been in his 20s, maybe, even.
He would have been, yes, he would have been in his late 20s at that time. And he was a powerful preacher then. So we had a connection with him before the university was constructed. He first originally purchased a farm outside Broken Arrow that was called Robin Hood Farm before he bought the land where the university is located.
Did he operate it as a farm?
He did. Not a large one, but he had some farming operations. That farm had a very interesting history because it goes back to a gentleman by the name of Samson Chisholm, who was an adopted son of the Chisholm who established the Chisholm Trail in western Oklahoma, and Samson established the Chisholm Trail in eastern Oklahoma that came through Broken Arrow, across the Arkansas River, and went on up into Kansas. And after he retired from the 10 or 15 years that cattle trails were in place, He came back to Broken Arrow and established a cattle ranch on that area southwest of Broken Arrow. It's the same place that Oral bought the ranch at one time. Samson Chisholm and his wife and a child were buried on that property. Hmm. Their graves are still there. It's changed hands several times since then, but when I was doing some history about Broken Arrow, I visited with Richard Roberts and his sister to see if they remembered the graves and where they were specifically, and they did not know the history of the Chisholm family, but they did know that there had been graves on the farm. So those have been identified, and the present owner knows where they are. After the new owner learned the history of that location, he named the housing development that he put on that ranch as Chisholm Ranch Estates.
It's known as that to this day.
It is now. It's a new development there called Chisholm Ranch Estates. That's the same land that Oral purchased before he purchased the land where the university is located.
He had an interest in land, didn't he? Elsewhere on Voices of Oklahoma, I have an interview with Oral Roberts. He died about 5 months after that. But he talked about standing out here at 81st and Yale and looking at that farm. So that story he told, and land, he would say, they can't take that away from you, and that was his guarantee. That's the logic then apparently drove him to that farm.
That's right. He wanted to invest in land. He always felt they can't take the land away from you.
Yeah.
They could, legally, I guess. But
and then, round robin, way, way ahead, you end up becoming professor at ORU.
I did. Oral had envisioned a graduate school in the College of Education that was fully accredited. And after I retired from the superintendency and went back into journalism for a while, he and then later my son Richard and the provost Carl Hamilton for a couple of years wanted me to come and join them to work on the development of a graduate school of education that was accredited. Accreditation at the College of Education is based on public school degree programs that are developed. The only graduate programs they had in the School of Education were those that were preparing people to go into the Christian school ministry type activity, and those could not be accredited under the state and national accreditation process. So they wanted me to come out there. I did not particularly want to do that, but I later felt, well, perhaps that's what I need to do and should do, and it was, and it proved to be very successful, and we were able to build that graduate program to get the doctoral program established that Oral wanted. That's all nationally accredited. It is one of the stronger programs in the state now.
He must have been proud, too, to know here's an Ada boy in my school. So you had a connection there.
We did. When I was superintendent of schools in Broken Arrow, we had then a new gymnasium. The world was very much invested in his basketball program at ORU. He thought the athletics would bring national attention to the school, which it did. He always liked at the beginning of the basketball season for their blue and white scrimmage within the own team to take them to a neutral gymnasium, and he asked if he could do that at our gymnasium. He had just started the university, obviously, a little bit before that, and it was interesting to sit with him in the bleachers and listen to him share his vision for what he wanted the university to be and the buildings that he wanted to construct there. He had a vision.
When you heard this, were you skeptical? Did you think, oh, that's a pipe dream? How did you view that?
I did not. He's pretty convincing, as you know from having talked with him. I thought, well, he can make that work. He had already started the university. He had the land. He had some buildings up.
And okay.
I thought he was going to be successful. He invited me out on the dedication when Billy Graham was the speaker at the original dedication of the university. For whatever reason, I had prime seats. He'd invited my wife, and we had two boys, and we sat, I don't know, the second row, I think, right off the stage there. And it was pretty exciting to be there for that occasion.
And you weren't a member of the faculty yet?
No, I was in the school system at that time.
It was your Ada connection.
I'm sure it was.
Well, that was a momentous time to be there, Billy Graham coming out, that's for sure.